Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today, as we celebrate the birth of Christ, we celebrate the Christian version of once upon a time. We remember that once upon a time, Jesus was born in a manger in Bethlehem. We remember angels praising God over the hills. For the church, this is often considered the beginning. Our church year starts before this beginning with Advent, making us look forward to the Christ child to come. Our gospel lesson for today begins with the phrase, in the beginning. This phrase is such a small phrase, and yet it is so critically important to us and our world that we will spend today's meditation time dealing with it. In the text for today, we read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. We then read later on in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So if we put these two together, we see that Christ was not just present at the beginning, he was the beginning. Let's look back at Genesis 1. Notice how it also begins with, in the beginning. John's words today are a parallel to that Genesis text for a good reason. In Genesis, we see that God has used something to create the universe. He used the Word. And in the text from John, we see in verse 3 that all things were made through him. So Jesus was that Word of creation. In the book of John, we see an end of one part of the timeline of God's people and the beginning of a new one. John is the last of the Old Testament prophets, and he acts as a connector between the Old Testament and the New Testament. He is the bridge between the time of the prophets and the time of the Messiah. And he is the stepping stone from the law to the gospel. John's record of Jesus' coming marks the beginning of the story of redemption. So when did Christ come into being? In Bethlehem? No. Christ is present before creation. Here in verse 1, where we see in the beginning, it means that before time itself existed. In Paul's letter to the Colossians, we are told that Christ is the firstborn of all creation. Christ was there before everything else, and he has been placed above it all. When Christ was confronted by the Jews about his heritage, he told them, "Before Abraham was, I am." Jesus told people again and again that not only was he at the beginning, but he was the cause of the beginning itself. Christ is also the first of the new creation, the world restored to a correct relationship with God. In Colossians, we're told that he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. Once again, Christ is pointed out to be the beginning. This time, not just of creation itself, but of the new creation, the creation that is justified before God, where we are now able to stand before God, not in fear, but in love. Christ lowered himself to be born of woman. Last night, we read the birth story, and we saw how Christ became the incarnate Son of God, now true man as well as true God. This marks another beginning of Christ, that of his journey of redemption for us human beings, as he takes us from being slaves to sin to redeemed under God. As a human being, Jesus was thrust into our sinful, broken world, and he chose to live among us as a perfect being who willingly died for us so that we would not have to receive the punishment we so completely deserve. This marks a huge change for us in our world, because this baby is the eternal Word who breaks into our time and our reality in the person of Jesus Christ. This is the wonderful miracle of the Incarnation. Christ as a man, as Jesus, marks the beginning of our joy, since his works on earth have saved us from our own certain punishment. And yet, it confuses and frustrates us at times, because in our sinful nature, we don't like receiving something that has no strings attached. We're always naturally suspicious of anything that seems too good to be true. And thus we try to find some way to make some part of our salvation something that we earned ourselves. This, of course, is not possible for us. We are so completely separated from God that nothing we do on our own can bridge this gap. Instead, God sends Jesus, bridges the gap for us. Why does God do this for us? Why tolerate us at all when we are such disobedient, unworthy children? He did this for us out of love. As sinful humans, when our children misbehave, we sometimes grow frustrated or even get angry, or even have second thoughts or regrets about our children. Our love for our children, although rarely, if ever, extinguished, ebbs and flows like the tide. Unlike us, God's love for us has never wavered even the tiniest bit. In an act of true and perfect love, God sent his Son to us, who in his perfect love for us willingly went to a suffering cross and took on our punishment. The God who is the Alpha and the Omega has not only come into our time and place, but he does so to give us new life, to make our temporal limited existence cut short by sin into his eternal existence. The God who transcends time and space for us gives us time, gives us eternity in him. So Christ is also the beginning of our new life. We read in Revelation where he says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of water of life without payment." Christ is here not only as the beginning of creation, but the beginning of new man, the restored man, the holy man. Christ comes to us from eternity to cleanse us and mark us as his own. Christ dies so that we may live, and he gives up everything for us so that we may have everything in return. This birth marks the beginning of our birth. And this beginning that we learned about last night is not some just random act. We read in Thessalonians that God chose us from the very beginning of time to be saved. From before creation began, God planned to save his people and bring them to his kingdom through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. This sanctification, which is the act of making us holy, marks a new beginning for us as well, as we are now able to do holy acts in God's name. How do we receive the Spirit and enter this beginning of holiness? Here we get another beginning, the beginning of the revelation of God's will by his Son. In Isaiah, we read that the Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Why would God bare his arm? He bared it to show what was hidden beneath. In this act, God gives us his holy word, not only in the New Testament that Jesus provides, but in the Old Testament, where we can now see that God has been building up to this moment from the beginning of time in Genesis 1. This word of God is the beginning of our knowledge of salvation. John tells us, "Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father." Here we see that the Father uses the word of God to send the Holy Spirit to us and bring us faith. We are shown our sin by the law of God, and then we are shown his limitless love for us in the gospel. This lets the Spirit rest on us and gives us faith, the beginning of our new relationship with God. This beginning, the beginning of our faith, is not just a simple trust in something, but it is a saving faith. Once again, God tells us to hold firm to this faith. In Hebrews, we read that, "For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end." So, brothers and sisters, hold tight to your faith. Listen to the word and let the Spirit of God abide in you, and you will be preserved and have been promised eternal life. This beginning is for the faith that never ends and will see us reunited with your body after death, where we will be with God forever. So today we see lots of beginnings. We have the beginning of the universe. We have the end of the time of the prophets and the beginning of the time of the Messiah. We have the beginning of Jesus' physical time on earth as he was born by the Virgin Mary. We have the beginning of salvation thanks to the works of Christ. And we have our beginning as reborn children of God. So, what time is it? It's not just any old time. It's salvation time. This is where we live happily ever after. Our new life in Christ begins here. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.